Hello, and welcome to the Thursday Night Kiss At Inn podcast. I'm your host, Cordelia. Today, in this episode, we're going to dive into a manga and its TV show adaptation that's aired this year in the spring, The Noisy Dinner. Kashimashi Meishi. So, Kashimashi Meishi, also The Noisy Dinner. The TV show is actually aired from the April 10th to May 29th, this spring on the TV Tokyo. In total, 8 episodes. The original work is a manga with the same title, and is serialized in Feel Young magazine by the manga artist Mali Okazaki. It was first published in 2016 March. So far, there are 5 volumes in total, and the manga is still going on. And the TV show is actually stars Atsuko Maeda, who is the former, AKB48 member, Liko Narumi, and also Akihisa Shiono. I think he is the younger or newer artist. This is actually the first time ever I saw him in the TV show. So, this is a story about 3 friends, Chiharu, Nakamura, and Eiji, who are, brought together because of the funeral. They discovered that they have all been living in all kinds of troubles and sorrows from their past, and through sharing the good food and drinks, they decided to live together and support one another. So one day, after watching the show, I came across a podcast by the original author, manga artist Mali Okazaki on the Twitter. She briefly shared her life story, and mostly like the story between her and food and making food. So she said, mentioning that like Chiharu, who is the main person in the manga, she initially had no interest in food or cooking. However, she gradually discovered the enjoyment of eating after starting to cook meals for her child. So I think that also can be observed that the food depicted in the story is made interesting by finding the different ways to present it. It's food and people, people and food, and the relationship among the people in the story. The tone of the story is very down to the earth, occasionally emphasis with the drama, not a lot, which is internally, initially presented by, the production team. The story is very flow if you watch the manga. It's always those like heartwarming realizations, self-talk, inner conflicts, and talkings. The things that, is often just about the 3 characters' everyday lives at work, their past and their present life, sometimes lasting only, I think, a couple of minutes. The show is very short, and each of the chapters of the manga is actually feels longer than the TV show. It may appear the show, is very slow paced to some audience, but it creates a realistic and immersive experience, allowing the audience, like myself, to really suffer the moments when everything can slow down around the people and the story, the people in the stories. So again, this is about good food, good friends, and good drinks, and make for a compelling and heartwarming story, for sure. And on the topic of friendship, the friendship and the food are of course the core of the story. Chiharu Nakamura, people call her by her last name, she's so cool, and Eiji, Three of them, they were all studied together at an art university. They were apart and then united together after some years at another classmate's funeral who unfortunately unlived himself. In the story, Chiharu would just quit her job after experiencing the workplace power harassment and all kinds of discriminations, which caused her mental health to deteriorate. So she stays at home and remains very aimless for a long time by herself. And another character, Nakamura, she was once engaged to someone at work, someone from a different department. So, you know, they moved in, they were in a relationship, and they engaged and about to get married. And at that point, she later discovered that her partner had been unfaithful and had an affair with another woman who even became pregnant. So, you know, everyone around her, even her mother, giving her the pressure to quit her job and then to leave this workplace due to this very embarrassment event. But Nakamura refused to give in. She stayed, and then the guy who was unfaithful was transferred to another department in another city. After a year, he came back. Nakamura's boss ended up transferred her to another department and refused to give her promotion. So, you know, very typical that they always blame the girl, not the man, in the relationship when anything that happened. And here we go, Eiji, who is a homosexual, in the closet, never come out besides his friend group. He had previously been in a relationship with Chiharu's ex-boyfriend during their university years as well, and that person was the person who unfortunately left himself. But he is a bisexual, but he never told Chiharu about his sexuality. And then also at the point that they reunited, it was the first time ever Chiharu learned both herself and Eiji dated this guy in the past. Not at the same time, but they dated this guy. The same guy. And then in the story that recently Eiji's partner just disappeared, left the place that they live, and went somewhere that Eiji had no idea. So, you know, the three of them occasionally have dinner together after meeting each other again at an unexpected funeral. They united together in the right time, a very good right time in their lives. So eventually, after many times eating together, they decided to move in and live together to provide the support as they each, you know, teetered on the brink of their personal breakdown and hoping to avoid being startled and lost, just like the leaves carried away by the wind, like their university friend who took his own life. So watching the show and reading the manga really makes me serious think about my friends, some old friends and some new friends that I just made through the school and work. I agree. I can totally relate. I love who they are and carefully expresses what I have in case they won't be carried away by the wave of love that I have. Yeah, I try to be slow. Fortunately that a lot of my friends are very patient with that. Chiharu, this main character, I think she's really loved by her friends. But even though after some bad traumas, right, she often feels like nothing remains the same. People are or not the same anymore. So all she, you know, the attitude or perspective that she has, she's just tired to be alive or to live. So she tries to live. After all the trauma that she had, she is still really loved by her friends, no matter what, no matter how broken, damaged she is. You know, in the first story, I remember I read the Nakamura, like, you know, boosts to a, like, kind of bragged to a person that she's kind of like dating with. And then she told this person that Chiharu, how awesome that she is. She's not only works hard, Chiharu, and then she is also the greatest and the most talented among all of the classmates she knows from their art school. And, you know, as an art student, Chiharu is not like others who try hard to be different. She's just awesome. She's just cool herself. She just remains true to herself. And whether it's her personality, it's the same, like whether it's in her personality or her dressing style or even her hairstyles, she just never forced anything. So she's cool. Nakamura just, you know, the moment that she said that, and I realized that's definitely going to be a great friendship there. They appreciate each other. Chiharu sleeps tired after having food with Eiji and Nakamura, you know, vaguely hearing their conversation while they were cleaning the kitchen. And she said this in her heart. Because of them, because of those two friends, from the moment get up from the bed to sleep time, I feel like I'm loved. I love them. That's why I want to eat with the people who are gentle to me. I really love that moment. It was such a like heartwarming moment. It feels like she's so relaxed. She can sleep in front of those two people. And those two people, even though they're not the parents, they're not a fan, but they're friends, it may give her the comfort. So that's Chiharu and Nakamura. Oh my god, and I remember they said that in the TV show, that Nakamura is Nakamura. Someone who is serious about her life, her friends, her relationships, and her job. She's just a very, very like tough person. She's really restricted to herself, very disciplined. But she has a hard time getting close to others. She really does. She worries that the moment that she reveals her vulnerability side, people will walk away from her. It's from the trauma. It's not her. It's the trauma that told her so. So, but living with Chiharu and Eiji helps her to practice dealing with those close relationships, right? So she can be vulnerable and still being loved as who she is. So, isn't it relatable? So Nakamura is so lucky, right, to have Chiharu and Eiji around her. Right, people can help with the problem issue, and to heal the wound, wrong people can just make the situation worse, as we all know. So around Nakamura and also Chiharu, Eiji finds him the safe space. He is allowed to be open about his sexuality. He can love. He can do whatever he wants. There will be a day when the friends will be separated, and there is always an ending somewhere that needs to be watched out for, because we know that there will be an end. That's why we need to move forward and enjoy the present the most. For the next time, but this time. Not for the next time, but this time in the present. Not like, oh, next time I see this person, I'm going to tell them this. But to actually take the action to do something, like this time, I need to tell them what I want to say. This you reunited together is really helps three of them to heal from their trauma, to support each other. But as all the story, there is a beginning and will there be an ending. But that's not a bad thing, right? I think it's not. Because that one day for three of them, all the path will cross again. And then they separate again, and cross again, and separate again. The right people always show up at the right time. This is what Chiharu and Nakamura said once when they're eating dinners. So if the people believe so, the right time is always now. There are so many good recipes in the show as well, I have to say. I couldn't help but add the whole set of the manga to my shopping cart, just wait for the ship from Japan. And it's very easy to make, but also there is a home party. recipe involved as well, but all of them are not hard to make. So yeah, it was great. You know, also about the friendship, you know, seeing them work together, not work together, but how can I say, make food together, really rebuild to involve with this communal events that they're doing. So, you know, there are so many heartwarming moments in the about friendship. There's two. The first one is in the episode 2. During the springtime, after two of them moving to Chihalo's place, they go to see the cherry blossoms. It was so beautiful. And under the trees, walking on the sakura petals, and they hold beers in one hand and food in another's, and they were walking and chatting. Oh my god, I was like, this is just so wonderful and relaxing. They get drunk together on Chihalo's birthday and then have hot tea together next morning, looking at each other and say good morning to each other. Comforts. It's this beautiful moment. And also in the episode 7, watching Eiji to be able to open up about his own vulnerabilities around Chihalo and Nakamura makes me so proud and happy that a safe space these two girls provide for Eiji. In the story, Nakamura teases Eiji a bit, but also, you know, urge him to like eat and drink with them. This is just like always a love language that Nakamura has. You know, remember, she's a very kind of serious person. She loves, so the way wants to take care of someone by expressing in a very tough way. You know, just like that. They share their worries, their thoughts on relationship, on good food, with the good food, like the taco salad and also the cold beers. And then just like that, to make the life continues, to support each other. So Nakamura was betrayed by her ex-fiancé, who blamed her for everything, almost everything happening in their relationship, and even took back the engagement ring, break the engagement. Also, the house they're going to buy, well, there was a lot of things that he have done. And Nakamura, you know, as Chihalo pointed out, that she takes everything very seriously. Nothing's a joke to her. She approaches her life and work with a very disciplinary and serious attitude. She wanted to, well, yeah, I think the story that they said she wanted to get married is only because that she believed it was the social norms. Like, because everyone does it, then I have to. Even it meant to giving up what she truly desired to, which is her career. So, you know, she tries hard. She tries hard to be normal. See, again, that topic about what is really the normal is, but she tries to. Because the society told her that married people are spirit. They're better than others. She wants to get married, but worried that she cannot spend 24 hours with her partner. She worries about being seen without makeup. She worries her partner knows that she snores as her sleeps. And yeah, I think perhaps maybe her past failed relationships have contributed to this concern. So Eiji once told Nakamura in the story, says that sometimes pretending to be okay during a very difficult time can be very toxic. It just tells your heart and say that the hard time is okay. The hard time is nothing. And at the end of the day, nothing can be resolved. And that's also very easy. The people who are like easy to dismiss their own feelings is also going to dismiss other people's feelings. So Eiji said it's okay to be not okay, especially in front of people that you trust and you love and the people who won't put off your light. So Nakamura learns. I think it's not that she can't be vulnerable, it's she was being vulnerable to a group of wrong people. Right people will help to solve the issue, but wrong people only gonna make it worse.
So she learns. She learns, she takes in, and she believes that living together with her friends is actually helping her to learn about human relations. And that's what she takes away from that experience. And also Chiharu. Chiharu finally returns to her professional life after a very long period of rest in the end of the story. But however like that, even after exposing the message from her former boss at the almost end of the story, she who harassed her and verbally abused her, she still reacts strongly. She experiences a shortness of breath and the moments of the mental blankness. Here is a little bit hint about the story plot. Chiharu, Nakamura are female. Eiji is a gay. So all three of them have been faced countless microaggressions, misogynies, homophobia at work and in life, and causing them to endure and really put down their emotions. Because the people in power, when they want to control, they use something called shame. They shame their emotions, shame their sexuality, shame who they are, and those people can gain the power, which is toxic, isn't it? Right? So they always produce this conscious, unconscious harm to the others, and then people like Chiharu, Nakamura and Eiji, who just work hard and want to just live in their own life, got hurt. Their soul was hurt, their hearts were hurt. I think that's everybody can experience and continue experiencing the similar struggles in their real life. Work is not easy. Working is hard. Okay, let's put it this way. Work is not hard. It's those people who are toxic make it hard. As I remember, all my friends always say, being a female, life is not hard. It's men or the people in power make the female's life hard. So there's another topic being discussed in the manga, which is, can we easily forgive those who have hurt us? Like, you know, the person bullied Chiharu, and Chiharu's ex-boyfriend, her boss, and Eiji's, his whole life experience. They want to know, how can they easily forget those who have hurt them? And usually, how long does it take to forgive? And how exactly do people forgive? So perhaps forgiveness is not necessary because the damage is just very hard and difficult to recover from. You can forgive, but it's very hard to forget. You know, even though people have been like speaking to their therapist for like, you know, many, many years, people still carry the deep scars from those like microaggressions and racisms and bullies from work and life. Definitely. And I don't think people have like a very set plan to how long will take them to forgive the people who hurt them. But we can all learn to build a protect system to cultivate a inner peace with the resilient heart. You know, to build a system to protect ourselves and build a safe space for ourselves no matter where we go. It's just like what Nakamura once says. We can't expect other people to change. There's no way. I totally agree with that. And we might not know how to be super strong, and there's no reason for us to have to force us to be strong, but we all can learn how to protect ourselves. Getting to know ourselves, do the inner work, not sticking for whatever the reason outside, but look inside and seek for the answer inside, then get to know ourselves, then to build the protect system for ourselves. This is what Nakamura learned after observe her own coworkers. And I felt this like a very good suggestion. Well, a thought that she brought up like in the story. It's a learning. Life is a journey. It's a journey to learn. And then looking at someone that I can relate to got to this point, I was very pleased and happy. Also, because of age, there are many, you know, I have to say there are many missed opportunities for details to explode in the TV adaptation, particularly regarding to aged characters as an LGBT individual. I really hoped that they can do more in the TV show to bring the image and the representations to the community. It could have provide a platform to really dive into the, you know, this the social pressure and the personal struggle that AG faced and to support a community. But however, this aspect was very hidden in the theory and in the TV theory, and even the term as gay was mentioned in a really, I don't know, I not very fully a good way, I think. Like, the focus was mainly on the lively, like, interactions among the three main characters with this, you know, with the pain and discomfort, and only briefly touched upon the struggles to be a member of the LGBT plus community. So, for instance, in the episode 4, at the ending, Eiji rushes to a restaurant to meet someone he secretly likes, but finds them like dining with another person, and you know, that person I think is heterosexual. The thing could have been longer and bolder, showcasing Eiji's sudden disappointment, like his face, like the blank space that he'd been left out there. But you know, in the show, it was only given a brief, like 2 seconds. The pain has been not really being, the struggles have been really not being displayed there, but dismissed. And especially in the 5th episode, the conversation between Eiji and the uncle beside him in the hospital, who holds a significant personal like meaning for his character's development for Eiji. There were also like several, I think plugs was like contribute his like the work, the situation that he has, and his confusion about the future. It was really being showed in the manga with a lot of pages, a lot of like wars, a lot of like struggles, a lot of like monogamous. But however, in the final cut of the TV theory, it was just reduced to maybe only like 3 second shot, like before being cut off. And also throughout the story, Eiji often faces isolations due to his sexuality. In the episode 7, after his love confession to a heterosexual person, the person he likes doesn't react to the confession, but became just amazed by Eiji's beauty and continuously taking the photos, and totally did not give the feedback of the confessions. And meanwhile, Eiji goes through a whole pack of these roller coasters of emotions, from crying to laughing and to suppressing his feelings, and using the experience of isolation and the hopelessness alone. But that thing, you know, could have been expand more and to help the audience who are now experiencing, and to allowing them to dive deeper to that isolated space, and to really be there with Eiji
and also his emotions. But it didn't really happen when I would watch it. So recently, I translated a short story for a Japanese literary translation competition. The story explores the thing of loneliness, isolation, bully, and a lot more. It dives into this misogyny and how it affects people, leaving them feeling lonely, hopeless, helpless, and isolated. I'm translating the story, a short story by the author Kaori Fujino. It called Wadashi wa Sapishi Katta, I Was That Lonely, helped me to understand the loneliness that Eiji feels, the helplessness Chiharu experiences, and the hopelessness that Nakamura faces. And it is all the sadness that caused by misogyny and the people, the shame game that they play. The other day, the former Sexyzone member Marius Yo, he posted a story on the Instagram with the question that do you ever feel lonely? And the day after, 86% of responses answered yes. We really don't know what's they never really tell us what's the true reason that Marius left the glamorous stage. Maybe just he wanted to be true to himself. People are lonely, and that's isolation. Everyone's feeling it, but never ever being talked enough in the pop culture. They try to, but somehow they don't want it to be there. It was in the book, it was in the writing, it was in the manga, but it's not in the moving picture enough. So in the story, you know, Eiji doesn't win back the love of the person he likes. So he decides to channel those emotions into his art. So he had a beautiful art exhibition after, but however, in the real life, it's not easy as this, right? Not everyone can simply just turn a rejection, this whole rejection about like maybe to your own identity, that into art after being, you know, rejected who they are and who they love. They need to talk more because it's very frustrating to me, in my own opinion. I am delighted to be able to watch this show and read the manga at a time that when I'm getting to know and learn from my friends, new friends and old friends, working and then becoming a student actually at an art school. Observing how the three main characters work, live, navigate their relationships with others and themselves is truly, truly a blessing. I really appreciate the manga artist who creates this beautiful story. It feels like having a conversation with someone older and wiser, you know, and as they share their experiences, tell their stories, and guide the audience and readers in figuring out what we can do for ourselves and others. So I really hope you enjoyed this episode. Currently, neither the manga or the TV show is available in English, so I personally translated any dialogue that mentioned in this episode, which will be included in the reference session. This episode was edited by Grace and written by me, Cordelia. And thank you again for listening, and we will talk to you soon in our next episode.